Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
At age 42, Tom Brady has built his TB12 brand around longevity. However, the NFL Network reported that multiple NFL executives are concerned about Brady's sustainability. The six-time Super Bowl champ hasn't missed a game due to injury since he tore his ACL in 2008. Rob Parker, Patriots fan, Rob Parker, do you think
I'm
this
a reporter.
Gives
I'm not a fan of any team.
The Patriots an out to get rid of Tom Brady.
I mean, if you want to take a look and say he's going to be a 43-year-old quarterback in August, and can we really count on him because if Tom Brady wants to play two more years, I guess you could use it as an out. As far as other, you know, if you're the Patriots, you could and just say we want to move on. The Patriots' MO, and Greg knows this, is that they always get rid of people a year or two early than a year or two late. And with Tom Brady, he was supposed to be gone for Jimmy Garoppolo. It didn't happen. So he's the one guy that got to stick around longer than they normally want people to stick around. So I don't know if they can totally use that and tell people, well, he's old now and we can't use him because they've had nothing but success. So I'm not just saying, I don't think they can use it. Maybe some other teams might want to use that. When I hear the story about his sustainability, you know what you're getting with a 43-year-old quarterback. We saw Peyton Manning do this. He wasn't that old.
He wasn't that, yeah.
But he was beat up and he went to Denver and they wound up winning the Super Bowl because they had all the other parts. So can I see another team saying, yes, I'm going to take a chance on a 43-year-old quarterback. We need him for 2 years. Maybe we have a good defense. Maybe we have good offensive weapons. The Patriots don't have all that stuff. And I'm not so sure it's still coming now. Are they going to go out in free agency and break the bank to make Tom Brady be viable again? So I'm not sure the Patriots are going there. For other teams, if I'm the Chargers, I'm all in on Tom Brady for 2 years. I just am. Phillip Rivers, we saw him last year, just didn't have it anymore. He was terrible, a lot of interceptions. They went from vying for the AFC Championship game, right, 2 years ago, to being out of the playoffs and being horrible with Phillip Rivers. Tom Brady last year, they won 12 games. He put up some numbers against some bad teams or whatever. They got to the playoffs, they lost. But if I'm the Chargers, I take a chance, and I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about Tom Brady's not going to be around for 5 years. There are no five-year plans in the NFL anymore. It's about what can we do to make adjustments? Can we get somebody? Can we upgrade positions? Can we upgrade the quarterback position? Can we keep this guy upright, have the offensive line protect him, and give him a chance to throw the football? So I think the Patriots can move on from Tom Brady. People will understand it. But I think other teams looking for a good quarterback.
People in Boston can understand
yes.
that.
Oh, yeah. 43 years
Jared
old.
Jared Stidham, you, Greg Jennings. Yeah,
you watched him last year. If you think that Tom Brady's the same, there's no way.
No,
and especially if you're not going to go out and get all these pieces that Tom Brady needs. Tom Brady's MO. Tom Brady, people used to always brag about Tom Brady. He does more with less than anybody else. He had less last year, and he couldn't do
Wait,
more.
Wait, they went 12-4, as you
No, no,
say.
No. That was a... They were the great. Worst 8-0 team last year in the NFL.
Got it. All right.
They didn't beat anybody.
This does not give the New England Patriots an out. It just doesn't. And the reason why is because they understand Tom Brady better than anyone. Inside and out, they know his body of work. They know what he provides. But more than that, they know the depth of his work ethic. They know that even at 42 years old, he's going to come in prepared. More prepared than what we've seen anyone at this age. Why? Because we haven't seen anyone at this age do it like this. Outside of like a guy getting close to Warren Moon. And so when you look at Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, they have to answer a question. What are we doing? And what do we want at quarterback? Are we going to just start completely over? And then do we think that our defense is good enough to really just hold down the fort until we establish what we want at the quarterback position? Or do we go out and get a Marcus Mariota or Ryan Tannehill or Teddy Bridgewater and pay them less than what we would have to pay Tom? But that still isn't what we want to see moving forward for our future. It could potentially turn into it, but that's not what we, like you said, that's not what we really had in plan, in place as far as an idea of how we want to move forward, because the idea was what you just said, Rob. They wanted Jimmy Garoppolo to be taking over already, if not right now taking over, hadn't taken over
right.
a few years ago. So I don't. The question really is, what are the Patriots going to do, and what right. what do they want to do? Right. But how do they want? Like, how do they want this position to be filled, and what are they looking for in this position? Because if you're looking for a guy that can just rely on the defense to win the games and just hold par
game manage,
why would you let Tom Brady go?
Exactly. And Greg Jennings, because that sounded so brilliant, I'm going to go to the dictionary for the second time this week.
Oh, my God.
Sustainability. Rob Parker, the ability to maintain at a certain level or rate. Tom Brady, as you just said, game manage, upgrade the positions. This is done. This, if anything, is an embarrassment from other executives around the league trying to drive a wedge between Bill Belichick.
It's not an embarrassment. This is real. This is real. Yes, it is.
What's real?
Tom Brady,
what?
For all these years, took a hometown discount.
Yes.
That's why there's a problem. If it wasn't about, there's a pride factor. Greg talked about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And that's where that whole thing about making more money. All of a sudden, Tom Brady, after all these years, wants to make more money.
We don't know that.
These are reports I got to go on.
Okay.
Okay? Those are the reports.
I thought we were going for the respect angle that Greg brought up.
Greg brought that up, but I've heard that he wants to get paid, that he hadn't been paid all these years as a star quarterback. But then if you're the Patriots, you're going, at 43, you want to get paid? It's hard.
Right.
It's hard for them to open up the, am I right, Greg, to open up the bank and say, oh yeah, no problem. Here's all the money, and now we won't be able to do other things as you get older. And I think that's where the rub is. That's why Tom Brady's not in the fold. Robert Kraft loves him. If Robert Kraft were to step in and go, just give him the money, whatever it is, he would be the quarterback.
Rob,
he wouldn't have moved out of New England.
Is this not silly?
He wouldn't have cleaned out his suite, Greg. He would be there.
Why would he put money above respect and winning? He has millions and millions of dollars in the bank. His wife's a supermodel. Greg, it's respect and winning at 42. Why would it be money?
And for me, when it comes to respect and winning, like, where else are you going to win? Like now, and you know that you have a chance going into the situation that I can win. Rob, for me, when I look at Tom Brady, like it has nothing to do with the money. The money has, he said no to the money when he should have said yes, or he could have said yes.
Well, but maybe he has regrets now, and it's just
maybe.
At 40, yes. Tom Brady is smart. He is not an ignorant individual, which is why he's the quarterback that has lasted this long
but
at this level, because he understands the game. He is just doing what he knows he needs to do as a free agent, opening and having available to him all doors and all options, so that if the one that I really want doesn't work out, I haven't closed the door or I haven't slammed the door shut on any other team. But it's all in the hands of the New England Patriots. And again, I'll say it. It depends on what the New England Patriots are trying to do. If they want to try to rebuild this offense, which they have a lot of young guys, a lot of young talent, and they want to just say, you know what, let's just strip the face out from under center and let's start fresh. You have an opportunity to do that now. But if you want to sustain your winning ways, and I don't think that would just turn, they would just turn into one of the bottom teams in the National Football League. That's not who they are. That's not their culture. But if you're looking to continue winning, why not look at the best option, which is Tom Brady, and you already know you have him in your back pocket.
But, Greg, everything you say makes sense. The only problem with it is, why are we here? If Tom Brady was that guy and they just want to continue with what they're doing, when they gave him that phony 3-year contract where the last 2 years weren't guaranteed, they could have secured him with a 3-year contract and said, Tom Brady all along said, I want to play to 45 years old. They could have just said, here's the deal, Tom. You're never going to wear anybody else's uniform. We're going down with you. They've left the door open for Tom Brady to be a free agent.
There's zero precedent for that in NFL history.
Why?
That is terrible business.
He's been there for 20 years and they've done nothing but win, Greg.
Terrible business. Greg, tell him, as a guy who signed multiple contracts, is it not terrible business to say, hey, we'll give you a 3-year deal so you can play till
you're
45? Why not? That's awful business.
You're telling me that.
I would have loved for somebody to tell me that, but that's just not the reality.
But you didn't play 20 years in a place and win 6 Super Bowls, and my point is, if this is so obvious and you want to stay where you are, just like you said, Bill Belichick knows it, Robert Kraft knows it, Tom Brady knows it. So he shouldn't be out here talking, flirting with free agency. Tom Brady should be about, I'm not going anywhere. We'll work this out. It ain't about money. It's about getting a contract done. He wouldn't have to put his house up for sale, move to Connecticut, his trainer moved from New England, all this stuff, all these cryptic pictures of him leaving and all this other stuff that's out there. Tom Brady, there's no reason to do it at 43 years old.
You ask, why are we here? Why are they here?
Why are we here?
It's always going to be about money. It is always going to be about money. When we look at these contracts and these guys and these negotiations, look at Dak Prescott. Why aren't they signed?
They don't buy into
it. It's about the dollar amount.
But they don't believe that he's that guy. That's
Rob,
why.
It's about the dollar amount. And when you look at Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, I guarantee you, if Tom Brady comes back and says, look, guys, whatever it takes to get this done, let's just get it done. They'll give him a dollar that he can live with, a dollar amount that he can live with, and they will ride off into the sunset.
Well, assuming they upgrade the roster,
assuming
right?
Assuming that they upgrade the
Brady
roster.
Brady has questions.
But this is something that it's always going to be about money. And I don't want to make it seem like Tom Brady is money hungry and he wants to be the highest paid quarterback
Or Tom Brady is different from anybody else who wants to be paid for their value. And this is what I'm trying to say.
If they're going to pay Tom Brady for his value, then I'm not going to pay you for your value 5 years ago.
Why not? The Chicago Bulls did it for Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that was
they paid him 33 and $35 million his last 2 years.
Can't compare.
Why? Because he was underpaid his entire career.
Can't compare NBA
different,
to NFL contract.
Completely different scenario. No cap. We're dealing
you
with
you could
cap.
Still give somebody money if you want to, Greg.
Yeah,
you
just give somewhere money. Else. Let's just throw money around.
Because it's Tom Brady. I thought he was the greatest of all time. You don't have enough money for Tom?
When I get done with this show, I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to just tell him, you guys can just give me the money you want to give me. I don't really have to work, do I?
We won multiple Super Bowls this week, Greg Jennings.
What are you talking about,
and
Rob?
And then all I say is Skip and Shannon will be back on Monday and they won't give you the money.
Exactly.
Right, let's move on, guys. No mercy. The Thunder got the win over the Pelicans last night, but Zion Williamson was electric. Coming off his previous career high of 31, Zion went for a new career high, dropped 32 with highlight reel play. Look at these dunks, folks. This is insanity. He's a teenager. Going into the All-Star break, the Pelicans sit 5.5 games behind the 8th seed in the West. Shucks, I'm supposed to start this, but
go ahead.
Just too fired up, and I don't want to get in an argument right out of the gate.
No, go for it.
Superstar Zion Williamson, folks. You know, the question is, can the Pelicans make a run at the 8th seed? So I had the great stat guy over here, Josh, look up, strength of schedule. Let's see how tough the Pelicans have it. So there's 30 NBA teams. Rest of the season, the Pelicans have the easiest schedule in the NBA. Guess who has the toughest schedule in the NBA? Memphis Grizzlies, who currently have the 8th seed. They're one of the youngest teams in the league. I can easily see Memphis falling apart a bit. I hope Ja Morant doesn't come after me on social media the way he goes after other people. But I can easily see Zion Williamson, who, you know, I probably shouldn't trot out all the stats here. But folks, in the last 30 years, two other number one picks scored 200 points in 10 games. Shaq and Allen Iverson. Zion Williamson has now joined them. And I know we talked about him.
You missed one guy who scored the most points in 10 games.
In the last 30 years.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you want to go back to the Stone Age?
No. I'm going to give you. That's not that stat you got.
And
right.
I'm just telling you, Zion Williamson, if you guys want to roll these highlights, I'm telling you, this quickness that he has, it's like a shark coming out of the water to get a dolphin. This dude is unbelievable. The second jump that he has, look at these highlights. This is against Steven Adams, one of the toughest, most physical bigs in the league. He's just abusing him. Here he is in the open court going right by Dennis Schroeder, not playing a lick of defense. Look at this. I'm telling you guys, 285 pounds, swatting shots into the second row. Rob Parker, listen, you don't want us to crown him too early. I'm telling you right now, the bandwagon is filling up for Zion. It's loaded. If you miss the boat, you can't get on it later. That's there is fine. No room on the bandwagon.
I don't want to get on the boat, but of the four players, he's the fourth player with the amount of points, 200 or some odd points in his first
210 games. Yeah, last 30 years.
Number one guy was Brandon Jennings. Remember him?
So he did not. That's not what the stat guys told me. Shaq and Iverson.
Brandon Jennings. And then
Brandon Jennings.
Yes, and then Shaq, and then Iverson.
Oh, no, he wasn't a number one pick.
Okay.
He was like a number 10 pick.
Okay, but I'm just talking about who had the most points after their first 10 games.
Oh, so we're comparing Brandon Jennings.
I'm just trying to tell you.
Young Money or whatever he called himself.
Be careful about crowning somebody because that guy had more points.
To your point, you said number one.
Number one pick.
No.
Number one pick.
But I'm just saying, he won the number one pick, and he had more points than Shaq and Iverson.
He was playing in Spain like 2 years later. They got him out of the league.
Okay, but I'm just trying to say, be careful before pump the brakes on superstars. Okay, and I'm just not sold that the Pelicans are going to make this miracle run in the second half of the season. There's other teams that are in the way as well.
Who's that?
Right? Are the Blazers? The Blazers and the Spurs
like the
as
Blazers.
Well.
Yeah.
Don't they have the Blazers win the Western Conference Finals a year ago?
They were.
Okay? Spurs took Denver to a 7-game series last year in the first round. All I'm saying is there are other teams in the way. This would be Herculean. If he were able to do this, I would start to look at him and say, wow, this is some accomplishment. Greg, this would be some move to move up from 11th, where they are, right, which is 9 games under 500, with what, how many games? Remember, this isn't the real
27,
right, this isn't a real 41 games left.
Yeah.
There's like 20, this is quite a move to jump over that many teams.
That's what superstars do.
And that amount of time. Okay, if you want to give me that. I don't think the Pelicans are making the playoffs this year.
Yeah, Zion is making history every time he steps on the basketball court. However, I just don't think this year it'll happen for them moving into the eighth seed and them making the playoffs. And a lot of reasons why. Number one being the amount of time that he missed, it's so much. And they don't have a ton of ground to make up. But just as I alluded to with the Clippers, the chemistry, the dynamic, and adding on top of that, they're such a young team. Yes, do they have a closer in Brandon Ingram? Yes, they have that. Check that box. Do they have an explosive young superstar in Zion?
Superstar.
Yes, check that box.
You guys call him that.
Alvin Gentry has done a great job with these young, talented individuals. However, there's a trajectory that you have to go on when it comes to winning. And typically, one of those roads or paths that you encounter is learning how to win. And this is where I feel like they're going to be challenged the most. This is a team that is very talented. We see all the talent from top to bottom. And even with Derek Favors coming over, it gives them some level of presence on the inside and some experience. But is it going to be enough this year? I don't think so.
He was so spectacular, but they didn't even win.
In close games, you don't know how to win yet. Yep. Why? Because we haven't had the experience. In a lot of teams, I was on a team in Green Bay where we were young, one of the youngest teams in all of football. And we had so much talent and we were in so many close games that we didn't win. The following year, after that, the games that we lost, all those close games, we found out how to finish and how to close out those games the right way. And I think next year, that's what we're going to see with this New Orleans Pelicans team, with a healthy Zion Williams, from the start of the season, and them developing that chemistry in practice, off the court, and then moving it and transferring it on the court and understanding, guys, this is how it did not work for us last year, and this is why it will this year. Because we've been through the fire. We've understood what we didn't do and what we did wrong last year to not close out games to this year coming or the next season coming
up. In an NBA season where ratings are down, Steph Curry's hurt, Durant's hurt, the NBA would love it if Zion Williams
got
to the playoffs and faced LeBron in the first
round. NBA
would be probably the most watched first round NBA playoff series in, I would guess, 2 decades.
The NBA would have loved to have LeBron in the playoffs last year, and it didn't
happen. He got hurt.
No, it didn't happen.
I'm
just trying to say, I know all your scenarios
just
that
finds
you always
a way
want.
To take shots
no,
at LeBron
I'm just,
every
no,
single
No, but you're
day.
Telling me what the NBA, would they have not liked?
They would have loved it.
Have LeBron in the playoffs? I'm just asking you. So it's one thing to want something, want dream matchups. I get all that. Yes, it would be great for television. They're not ready. He's scoring points. They're still not winning at a clip. If he came in and the first 10 games, they ran off 10 in a row and he changed everything about it, yes.
You don't think he already is? This team had a losing culture early in the season. He's played 10 games. Now, Brandon Ingram's hurt. Drew Holiday has had some injuries. They got one of the youngest teams in the league.
I get all that.
I'm telling you.
I'm just saying.
Will you give Zion superstar status if they get to the playoffs this year?
I've got to see how it plays out, but I would be more open to it if he were able to make that happen in his first year.
And then you know what he's going to say? They got swept the way Anthony Davis gets swept every year when he was in New Orleans. Right?
Well, they beat the
They beat Portland. Yeah, they did. But
I'll give you that. That's a win. But again, Rob made a point. There are teams in front of them with the Blazers who have experience.
The Spurs.
Who understand how to fight in the postseason. Not saying that they've won.
Well, Spurs.
You get to the Western Conference Finals, you're doing something.
Something right.
And then you have the Spurs who you see the difference in just the experience level. And not saying that the Pelicans don't have talent, because they have a lot of talent, but they have so many guys and none of them have experience winning. None of them have experience winning. And so when you have that, I get it. You can have the easiest remaining schedule, strength of schedule, but that doesn't mean anything if I don't know how to take advantage of it. And last night was a prime example against a team who in OKC, again, a team in the playoff hunt, they're sixth or seventh spot,
yeah.
But they have a Chris Paul. They have a guy who's been there, who understands, okay, it's the fourth quarter, it's the closing moments of the game, I have to be special. I have to put my team in a position where we win.
And you know the greatest point, you bring up Chris Paul and the Thunder, everybody wrote them off, the veteran guy going there with a young team after being gutted, and where are they? In the playoffs when everybody thought the Thunder were done, right?
Because you love Zion Williamson's stats, they keep coming at me in my ear. Fourth teenager in NBA history, Rob Parker, to have back-to-back 30-point games. Zion Williamson.
It's funny.
Superstar.
So according to you, I would think he would have been the first and only, but at fourth. So that means that this is
NBA history. How many NBA players in the history of
this sport? But this isn't. Three other guys have already done it, so it can't be that miraculous.
My God.
Three other, not any. If you told me he was the only teenager to do it,
what did Bruce Harper call him? The hatingest brother in the sports media?
The Hubbo.
The Hubbo.
Lock it up. No mercy. Paul George missed most of the game last night for the Celtics after leaving with a hamstring injury in the second quarter. L.A. still forced the game to go to double overtime, but Kawhi just couldn't keep up with Jason Tatum. Tatum dropped 39 points, led the Celtics to a nice 8-point win. By the way, Patrick Beverley also missed this game with a nagging groin issue. Clippers are hurt. We're now joined by Fox Sports Radio host Doug Gottlieb. Doug, well, the Clippers' injuries keep them from getting past the Lakers in the Western Conference.
I don't believe they will. I don't believe the injuries are what's going to hold them back. I mean, that's the whole reason they're doing this load management stuff, right? I mean, Paul George, could he have gone more last night with the hamstring? Probably, but what's the point? We get the All-Star break, get the extra rest. Pat Beverley, could he have gone last night? Probably. It gives Landry Shamet a chance to play in a game, which I think we'd all concur, that was a playoff caliber game, right? Last two nights, we've had playoff caliber games. Denver Lakers, playoff type atmosphere. Celtics Clippers, playoff type atmosphere. And by the way, both games went to overtime. They were outstanding. That's just how close in proximity these teams are, especially on those home courts. But I don't think the injuries will be what holds them back. On the other hand, Paul George getting hurt is like a yearly thing, right? It's like the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. He's hurt again, and that's what they're guarding against. Their whole investment in this team, in Kawhi, in Paul George, in load management, is to protect against those injuries. I do think it works.
Wow.
And so for me, I think this will be and could possibly very well be what holds them from getting to where they want to go. The Lakers being another reason why. But focusing on just them as injuries, they started out the season without Paul George. It impacts and affects chemistry right out the gate.
Sure.
When you look at the load managing, I get it. We've seen Kawhi do this last year. and insert himself again with a team that had a core group of guys who understood how to play together. Now you're adding so many moving parts. You now have acquired Marcus Morris, who you want to see how he fits in with what we do. And we know what he brings to the table, but we don't know how we can pull out what best fits to where we can have the most success. With Paul George being out, with Kawhi being in and out of the lineup, with Pat Beverly being in and out of the lineup, with Lou Williams not being in all the time, you want to have these guys together so that you know what you have as a coach moving forward. I know what button to push. I know what lineup works best. I know when to switch out the lineup and move to a certain guy. But if I don't have all these pieces at my disposal and I'm hoping I can go into a game every single week with this, then it puts added stress on me. It puts added stress on the others to fill roles. And then when those roles are then now taken off of their plate, because now Paul George comes back,
yep.
Kawhi comes into the game, he's going to play tonight, Marcus Morris is in. It changes the landscape of who you are and how you want to operate.
Look, Rob, it's a really smart point that he's making, right? It's hard to have a team where you don't know who's doing what and what their role is. On the other hand, knowing people on that Clippers bench, they've told me they planned for this. Like, we knew we were only going to get Kawhi for 60 games. We knew Paul George coming off of dual shoulder surgery, he's not going to play. And I think while that could be a weakness in terms of the cohesiveness and not knowing your role, I think it could also be a strength, because there are going to be nights when Landry Shamet's going to have to help carry them, when Lou Williams
and then they're getting those opportunities.
And you need those. You're going to need one of those guys for one game in the playoffs when PG doesn't have it or Kawhi doesn't have it.
And here's the other part. All the stuff you're talking about, look at where they are. They're third. They're still winning. The team that's in front of them that everybody's saying is going to win the championship, they've beaten twice. They've beaten the Lakers without having all this together. So it's about trying to get this together as you enter the playoffs. And, Greg, I get it. In a perfect world, you have everybody, everybody's healthy, you get to do all that and tinker and everything. But that's not how it works. It comes down to getting into the playoffs, and then the guys who you put together being ready to play and produce when that time comes.
So, Doug, let me ask you this. Last year, the Clippers, Rob loves to say, they pushed the Warriors to six. Lou Williams was their guy, unstoppable.
Yeah.
With Paul George and Kawhi there, Lou becomes kind of a third option. It was weird last night. In the huddle, Lou Williams is calling for the ball, telling him what to do. Kawhi Leonard over here just did nothing. I mean, he was blitzed. He would switch easily off the screens, almost like he wanted no part of Jason Tatum. I just wonder about this chemistry Greg's talking about. Is Lou Williams going to say, man, I'm a 15-year vet. I got to get mine. I need a title. Kawhi just got his championship. He's load managing. I don't know. Your thoughts on...
Well, look, Lou Williams is what we call thirsty, right? Like, he wants the ball. He wants to get buckets. I think he was right to be upset. What should have been an and-one call when he hit the three in the corner. That's old-school continuation. No matter what Gordon Hayward was trying to do, that was a foul on the shot. I actually think that's the hardest part about this Clippers team, is they do have a lot of guys. Like, everybody wants the ball, whereas with the Lakers, everybody knows who's going to have the ball. There's a set pecking order. I do think it's interesting that we're giving the Lakers the pass in terms of injuries when, I mean, Anthony Davis has been hurt seemingly every year. Rajon Rondo, when he was with the Bulls, they're beating the Celtics, he gets hurt. And even LeBron has very rarely hurt, but, of course, in his last NBA Finals, he hurt his thumb, or at least he told us his thumb was hurt.
After
they lost in the playoffs.
Punched the claw.
He had a full body count. By the way,
who was the second best player on that team? J.R. Smith. Stop.
But the point is this, though. It's the composition of the teams are very different. Right? With the Lakers, it's LeBron, and he's going to give the ball to Anthony Davis or give the ball to whomever he sees fit. With the Clippers, it's one pork chop and a bunch of dogs fighting over that bone. And that's the way they work, and that's the way they function. To tell you I know how it's going to play out, I do think it was interesting that they did kind of freeze Kawhi out. But we don't know if Kawhi wasn't feeling it, if Lou was.
Hey, 27 shots for Kawhi Leonard. He had 28 points. That's not efficient.
No, but... it's a law of averages, right? You go throughout his career, he's an incredibly efficient player, efficient scorer.
No question.
And he had a bad night.
And look, like not mentioned, Jason Tatum was the best player on the floor. You did say it coming in. He's only 21 years old. And you can give Danny Ainge all the grief you want, but the draft day trade, to trade down from 1 to 3 and get Jason Tatum, goes down as one of the all-timers. And I think the Celtics, we're dismissing them as finals contenders coming out of the East.
You hear that, guys? Yeah, keep going.
No, I mean,
can they take down the Bucks?
I think they have a more diverse set of weapons than the Bucks do. The Bucks are completely dependent upon Giannis to get in the lane and create. And we take the Lakers game where Giannis stepped up and made five threes. Like, oh, he can shoot now. Like, no, he can't. Go and look at what he's done since. I still think that limits them. I think his ability to get foul calls in the playoffs is like James Harden. It limits them. Like, there's a reason that the Bucks have not taken that next step. And I think, you know, playing around one guy who is not yet a refined shooter is a limiting factor, as opposed to the Celtics, who have talent, have multiple guys you can throw at Giannis. And I know Kemba missed coming down the stretch, but everyone I know thought that shot was going in regulation because he's Kemba Walker. This team has better chemistry. We all believe in Brad.
Did you pick the Celtics at the start of the season?
I thought they were going to be very, very good. I see no reason to think they can't come out of the East. I think those are the two teams, most Celtics and Bucks, most likely come out of the East. I don't think the Raptors are legit finals.
And Philly, no? You're not feeling
they're,
Philly?
They're interesting. You know, when they want to go. And like, look, there's a little of Shaq and Kobe there where maybe they need a better maestro to get them to you go, now I go. And they're struggling with space. But we've seen them flex their muscles, what they did to the Clippers the other night.
But when they go on the road and they have the same road record as the Knicks, that's telling, isn't it?
Yes, it's also telling of their immaturity off the floor. I think it's that the one story that we don't know and we can only guess is that whatever they're doing off the floor, not getting themselves prepared to play, you can't be that good at home. You can't be that talented.
Like 25-2 at home and terrible
on the road. And I think Joel Embiid is the most talented dude in the NBA. Like, they don't make 7-foot-1 dudes that can handle, shoot, post, defend the rim. Like, he does it all. I know we're all about the guards, okay, but this guy can do everything, a modern-day big guy. But you can't have the variances unless there's something going on in terms of diet, going out, being hangout guys. I still think Ben Simmons needs to let some fly. Don't be afraid to miss. Giannis missed for his first 3-4 years of shooting threes. They're the team that could go out in the first round, or they're the team that could go to the finals.
So I like the Boston Celtics. I like the way they've been constructed. Kemba Walker is clearly a better fit than Kyrie Irving because of the camaraderie that he provides and just his ability to play make and not want to take every single shot and play iso ball. For me, I like the Bucks. I like the Bucks, and you talk about Giannis not being able to step out and shoot, but he has so many shooters around him.
Yes.
To where they're going to open the lane. That is their plan. That is their strategy. That is their identity. Let Giannis do what he does. Attack the rim and kick it to a 7-footer Brook Lopez, who's going to take out whoever they're playing, their opponent shot blocker at the rim. Like, in Chris Middleton, I don't think he gets enough credit. This is his second consecutive All-Star appearance now. Like, and he's been nothing short of a nice compliment to wherever he's been. He's a great shooter. He didn't get it going last year in the postseason. Get it. We live and we learn. Hopefully he grows from that. Giannis didn't do what he felt like he should have done in that Toronto series. You live and you learn. And you add to what that is that you've learned. And with Giannis, I think his mentality alone of thinking and belief of, I'm the reigning guy in this East. So you have to come by me. You have to get by me. I don't think he's afraid of anyone in the East or in the West for that matter. And I think it's going to be a challenge for teams to step up that level of mentality, of way of thinking, that they can just walk into Milwaukee, who's a good a home team and away team.
And the pocket protectors are all saying that statistically.
Analytically.
Analytically. They're the greatest right now, putting together the greatest season, the Bucks of anybody. Are you buying that? Do you see that?
No, but that's okay. I mean, like, listen, like, great. Regular, who comes out of the, who gets the number one seed in the East has never been a determinant in who actually plays in the finals.
Well, LeBron was there.
No, but he didn't always get the number
true.
One.
He did.
Yeah, but everybody knew he was coming at it.
But also the last 2 years, the last two champions were in the number one seed. It doesn't mean anything.
And we can dismiss the Sixers all we want. The Kawhi shot hit the front rim twice, the
luckiest
back rim twice.
Shot ever.
The back. Now, it would have gone to overtime as a tie game, mm-hmm. but that's how close those two teams are. Chris Middleton being an all-star ahead of Brad Beal is a joke, right? I love the Chris Middleton
Doesn't winning
story.
Matter to you, Doug? Or does it not? Because I'm serious. Isn't it different scoring points and putting up numbers on a bad team, right?
It's a completely different league, the games that don't matter. On the other hand, Brad Beal's a bucket.
No question. I'm not taking Chris Middleton over Bradley Beal.
Trae Young being on the All-Star. Yeah. Now, Trae Young, that's when you're statistically the worst defender in the league. I don't care what you do offensively. There's a reason your team's losing. But my point is that I think, and I love the Chris Middleton story. I remember he was at A&M, and he was a first-round pick.
He came through Detroit as well.
Right? I mean, he's bounced around. He found a perfect home and found his confidence. But I think the playoffs exposes who you really are, and he's just not of the caliber of the other number twos in the league. And what we're underselling about the Celtics is Gordon Hayward. We are. I mean, you think about the plays. Gordon Hayward made a big block last night, hit a big three last night. Look, is he ever going to be as valuable as the number one free agent on the market like he was when he signed with the Celtics? No. But he was an all-star in the West, legit all-star in the West. And if he's your third best player, if he's your best player, you got a problem. If he's your third best player or your fourth best player, which at times he can be, that's a hell of a team. Then you combine a coach that I think we all agree is a bit of a savant in Brad Stevens. Like, I like this team.
Still got to win eventually.
I want to go back to the Clippers, Doug. So you coach your kid in basketball. I coach my son. When you go to practice, you develop these habits, right? And you build good habits and they translate to the game. In the NBA, we got just 18 games so far out of 55 for the Clippers core four. Now they add Marcus Morris. Doug, Greg and I seem to be in lockstep here. This team is not able to develop this cohesiveness when Kawhi is load managing because he's a diva and Paul George is hurt every week and Patrick Beverley's hurt. You can't just expect them to go into the postseason and dominate.
Who said they're going to dominate?
Hey, you're crowning them, Rob. You have them in the finals.
I'm not saying that they're going to sweep every series.
No, but you have them rolling through everybody.
I believe when you talk about beating somebody 4 out of 7, that's what it comes down to.
Look at how badly they've struggled against Utah in both matchups.
And you know what? The one team that's in their way is the Lakers. And what have they done, Doug, with this non-chemistry and not being a cohesive unit?
Two fourth quarters, Kawhi Leonard.
But they've won the game.
I'm going to throw what you say at you all the time. It's the regular season.
Yes.
But they won
the regular season game.
Wait, but you guys are just saying the regular season matters.
Right.
They have to play together.
What matters for building chemistry and cohesiveness?
You're not wrong in terms of building. But again, like, and don't call Kawhi a diva. Because
right. He is. He don't want to load manage. And when he goes to talk to the Lakers, I want a private jet at all times.
That's negotiation. That has nothing to do with it.
That's coming from Kawhi.
Hey.
He won a championship,
if
dude.
If you don't ask,
you won't get it.
That's diva mentality.
No one has ever gotten anything negotiation. They did not ask for it.
Sure, like, true.
I could have got my own dressing room.
Why
not ask my own dressing room?
Back.
New clothes?
For all these dogs they got in the locker room, Lou Williams, Marcus Morris, then they're looking over at this guy, load manage. I'm just saying, I can force
you. You're literally the only one who thinks
I like being on an island.
Okay, you're on McIntyre.
He's going Gilligan's Island. I see a couple of
Nick Wright coming my way. I see Colin Cowherd. They're all coming this way.
To the extent of being a diva. Look, it worked for him last year. It's like the guy who scores, you know, whereas Lou Williams or pick the bench player and they're a finisher, but they don't want to start because it doesn't work for them. This works for him. I'm telling you, the Clippers prepared for this. They knew that, hey, we're not going to be the best team in November, in December, and yet we want to be the best team in April, May, and June.
There you go.
Now, does that work? The TBD, okay? Again, we're depending upon Paul George, who, shocker, is hurt again. Kawhi Leonard to not be hurt, you know? And the other part that I don't think people have mentioned enough is we're acting as if Paul George and the rest non-Kawhi of the Clippers are going to make shots in the playoffs that they have not made. The one thing we learn about the NBA is, like, you have to have done it and done it before in order to do it again generally, you know? And look around. Like, Pat Beverley is a great talker. He's the heart and soul of that team, okay? But he ain't done anything in the playoffs.
LeBron's done a lot, though, Doug.
LeBron has done it. Right. Now, again, Anthony Davis hasn't done it, so we don't know how he performs. Rondo, playoff Rondo, we'll see if he still has that. He's got Avery Bradley. He's playing better. We don't know. But we're determining what somebody's going to look like in the playoffs for many of these teams that we have not seen in the playoffs before. And it's just a different level of basketball.
No mercy. At age 42, Tom Brady has built his TB12 brand around longevity. However, the NFL Network reported multiple NFL executives are concerned about Brady's sustainability. The six-time Super Bowl champ hasn't missed a game due to injury since he tore his ACL in 2008. We're now joined by former NFL running back Rashad Jennings. Rashad, do you think this gives the Patriots an out to to get rid of Tom Brady?
To answer the question directly, I'm not sure if it gives an out, because they don't need an out. They're coming up to a contract. So they can just continue to allow him to walk away without needing an out. And then most of the time in the NFL, as you know, you can attest to it, they're never evaluating you for reasons why they want to keep you. They're always constantly evaluating you for reasons why we can let you walk. And with that, I don't think Brady is a guy that you can just let walk, nor do I think they want to allow him to walk. It just comes down to a finance thing. Is he going to be able to get the money that he wants that's applicable to who he wants to play for? So for Brady to leave, though, I think it's kind of tough. I think it's kind of tough because everybody talk about his sustainability. And I think that's – I don't think it's fair when a guy that's won as many Super Bowls as he's won. I think the fair question is Belichick sustainable without him? Mm. Belichick has never won a Super Bowl as a head coach without him. And Brady knows how to stay healthy. He wouldn't be able to build his brand, TB12, if he wasn't being able to stay sustainable. And I looked at a stat that's kind of cool. It was interesting. Quarterbacks that's thrown a football under 2.5 seconds in their career. They just took a statistics of all the completions. Brady has a completion of 80%. The next quarterback, Phillip Rivers, plays 17 going into 18 years. He has 74. And the third, with a drop-off of the number, is Peyton. Peyton Manning at 68%. So he knows how to take care of himself because he gets the ball out, he doesn't get hit, he can get down. So sustainability is something you could throw out the window. He's a clutch player. He's obviously the GOAT. He's always going to be arguably the best
quarterback. He's not the GOAT. Joe Montana's the GOAT.
Man, it's an argument. It's going to always be a fair argument.
It is.
Always a fair argument.
Joe Montana, 4-0, 11 touchdowns, no picks, 3 MVPs, and 2 of the Super Bowls. He had to throw touchdowns and not wait for Adam Vinatieri to run out. That's all I'm saying.
He's come back clutch, though. When you look at Brady, what he was able to do.
Brady's been very lucky throughout his career. just the facts.
As a fan of the game, though, that's why I want to see him have a division with the Patriots, to go somewhere else, and let's see between Belichick and Brady, which one was the biggest piece to the puzzle.
I think it's too late for that, but I'll let you go, Rob, since I know you don't feel the same way.
No, when it comes to other teams, like looking at Tom Brady, you know what you're getting. It's like when Peyton Manning, his last 2 years, he went to Denver and they won a Super Bowl, even though he was the tin man in the Super Bowl and had 90 yards and couldn't move around. You know what I mean? And just didn't – he was carried along by the defense. If I'm the Chargers, I would be willing to take a chance on Tom Brady for 2 years. I think it makes sense. They have some good receivers. They have a running game. They have a decent defense. And they need to sell tickets. They would be selling Tom Brady jerseys and all that.
But
and I'm not looking
Patriots
for that.
What are the Patriots doing if they don't bring back Brady? What's your plan B?
My point is with the Patriots and Tom Brady is that I don't think they want Tom Brady back. If they wanted Tom Brady back, they would have worked this out. I'm serious. I do not believe it. Why is Tom Brady making all these moves, packing up the family and moving to Connecticut, and his trainer selling his house, and Tom Brady, everybody, all the stories that come out, Tom Brady was disrespected all these years. He never got paid as a star quarterback. He wants money now. He was given a hometown discount for decades. Now he, at 43, he wants them to ante up. So all of the things to me line up. If Robert Kraft and Tom Brady have a father-son relationship or whatever, we can hash this out. Whatever it takes, Tom, let's just make this done. Tom doesn't have to go around and send out cryptic messages on social media. Oh, people think that's him walking out of Gillette Stadium. What is Tom Brady going to do? This is all we're talking about. If this was about Tom Brady finishing his career there and they're just saying, we're going with you for the next couple of years. He said he wanted to play to 45. Mm-hmm. What'd they do? They gave him a bogus contract with the last 2 years with no value to it, right? They could have easily signed him to a 3-year deal, even at 43 years old, 44, whatever it is, to say, you've done all this for us the last 20 years. You took less money. You won a 6 Super Bowls. We don't want you to wear any other uniform, and we're just going to pay you at the end. And I keep bringing it up. You guys always poo-poo it. That's what the Bulls did to Michael Jordan. They paid him later on in his career big money because he didn't make the money he was supposed to make.
Situation.
No, it ain't.
Yeah, it is.
You can reward Tom Brady if you want to.
Different dynamics, Rob. This is not in no way an out for the New England Patriots. And the reason why it's not an out, because they know everything that you said with his ability to get rid of the ball, his ability
to...
work ethic. They know him inside and out. They know what makes him tick. They know the most important thing to Tom Brady is what? Winning. Which is why they've stayed together. Which is why Jimmy Garoppolo was gone, because of Kraft, the ownership. Because he knew how important Tom Brady was to that organization to continue winning. He didn't want to experiment like a lot of teams would have done with a younger guy. And I get it. You want them to move on so you can see him with the Chargers. I don't mind that. But the biggest concern for me is, when you look at the New England Patriots, if you let Tom Brady walk, what are you doing at quarterback now? What are you saying to the rest of your guys? Like, okay, we know the direction that we're headed. We know what we want to implement. Are we going to go get Marcus Mariota, who hasn't proven anything? Are we going to go get a Ryan Tannehill
or a Teddy
Bridgewater?
You said Bill Belichick's the greatest coach? Is that what you said?
He is.
All right, so then you give Bill Belichick another guy and see if Bill Belichick can develop this guy and win without Tom Brady. It's right there. You have the coach to do it.
Rob Parker, it doesn't matter who he goes and gets. If the personnel stays the same around him, the same result is going to yield you. So if you can't win with Tom Brady with this personnel or the lack thereof, then you're not going to insert a Marcus Mariota.
You think Bill Belichick believes he can't win without Tom Brady?
I don't believe that.
Okay.
I don't believe that. But they have to get better personnel with whatever decision that they decide to make.
They'll make some other decisions. He's 43. They were the worst 8-0 team I ever saw in the NFL.
Stop that,
all
Rob.
He ever did was put up numbers. He put up numbers against also-rans and bad teams that were filled in the NFL. They weren't a good team. I picked that they weren't even going to make it out of the first round.
Let me ask Rashad about...
Congratulations.
You keep talking about the money, Rashad. He's never been the highest-paid quarterback in the league. Maybe Tom Brady was taking less so they could... build around him.
Yeah, that's why.
Maybe Tom Brady takes less again. So maybe it's not about money. Do you think it's money or winning or respect? We've seen some respect.
Yeah, I think the word respect comes into play. Everybody knows Brady is taking less for the team. He's done a lot for their team and organization, and so it's time to ante up. And for him never to be, how you gonna arguably have the best quarterback to play the game, and he's never been the highest paid, and he's played for this long. At some point, you would think he would have been the highest. So for him, he's being selfless. And this is a stage at the age of 42 where I think I personally believe there's been some conversations that the media will never know because Brady knows how to handle himself behind the scenes where there's been shots at each other. And I think he's at the point where, listen, I'm going to play everybody's cards. Y'all have to convince, the Patriots have to convince him to stay.
Yeah, because this team wasn't very good last year, right?
Yeah, I mean, they lost Gronk, right?
They didn't have Gronk.
The offense, they lost Gronk. They didn't have Josh Gordon out there like they expected. AB went through his situation. Edelman had, I think, the most dropped balls by a starting receiver. And so when you add up all of that, what else do you want Brady to do? Yeah.
That right there, what you just said, they have to convince him in ways of not only monetarily, but with how you're constructing this roster and the personnel. Because everything that Brady has provided them in the past, he can't provide all of those things. He's not going to be the quarterback that elevates everyone around him any longer. And you can't ask him to do that at 43 years of age when the season starts. And so if you're not going to ask him to do that, there's only one other option. You got to get better quality individuals and talent around him that will support what you already know and believe he can provide you.
Yeah, I still don't believe
he's going to
Rob's talking about Montana's the best. He's throwing a Jerry Rice, John Taylor, awesome guys. Tell me the receivers Tom Brady had last year. A rookie who's unproven. Edelman, I think he's 33, as you said, led the league in drops.
Brady also had one of the greatest kickers in the NFL history, in Adam Vinatieri.
He's talking about
Go
kickers.
Look at those first... Go look at those first three Super Bowls, how they win them.
Who drove them down the field?
How do you get in that position?
I was just about to say.
It ain't
part of the game.
It ain't automatic. Ask the Buffalo Bills if it's automatic to kick to get in position.
That's true.
All right?
It's not automatic.
What would have happened if the Buffalo Bills made that field goal?
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you. Or if Adam Vinatieri missed those kicks, you wouldn't be sitting there telling me Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever.
Let's go back. Rashad said something interesting. You said you think maybe in their meetings there's some shots between Belichick and Brady. Anything that could potentially be, you know, beyond repairable between these two. Would Brady, do you think he really looks outside and says, hey, the Chargers look kind of attractive, a terrible offensive line, questionable head coach?
Yeah, why not? I mean, Brady's a competitor. You know, he's always got that chip on his shoulders how he came into the league. I think he wants somewhere apart, too. I enjoy a good film. I mean, how great of a film would it be if Brady goes to another team, makes the Super Bowl, and Belichick somehow brings in Andy Dalton and so or somebody and, like, figures out how to get in the Super Bowl again and let them compete? I think it would be great for the NFL and the whole story for next year. But, yes, I do believe Brady wants kind of to go somewhere else to kind of let everybody know who he is. He does need more pieces to the puzzle. He can't go to a team that's trying to develop.
Yeah.
He needs somewhere a team with a quarterback. It's just one quarterback away, a couple passes away. He could come in and help you win a Super Bowl.
All right, thanks for coming in, Rashad. You've also got a new book that came out earlier this week, Arcade and the Fiery Metal Tester. Congratulations, man.
Appreciate it. Pick that up.
No mercy. All-Star Weekend is finally upon us. It's Team LeBron versus Team Giannis in the Windy City on Sunday night for the NBA All-Star Game. Rob Parker has front row seats. It's a game of supply and demand to see the star-packed rosters play on Sunday night. According to Slam Online, the average cost ticket for this year's game is $4,000, the highest it's ever been. Rob, who do you have winning?
I have Zion winning the All-Star MVP. Oh, he's not playing? Oh, I'm sorry. I just figured he's a superstar. Colin just crowned him, you know, so I just figured that he should just show up to Chicago and they should let him in the game because he's already a superstar. Okay, so now that we're done with that, how about Anthony Davis? That's who I have as the MVP. And you know how the NBA runs and the All-Star game. He's from Chicago. This is his big coming out year. He's with the Lakers. Everybody's gotten him winning the championship. They can force feed Anthony Davis. And the final score will be 210-208. So that's where I got it for the NBA All-Star game. And I'll be there to watch Anthony Davis get crowned MVP.
You know what? I'm going to go. Team LeBron will definitely win. But for my MVP, because I'm picking Team LeBron, I'm going to go Luka Doncic.
Oh, wow. Dang it.
I'm going with Luka Doncic. And I, as much as I love Trae Young, but because they won't win, I'm going to go with Luka Doncic. He's a skilled player, can shoot the ball, can entertain you while playing the game. I like that. I like Luka Doncic right there.
Oh, man. I was thinking Luka, but I'm going to go with LeBron James. He's on a mission this year to prove he's not the washed king that everybody says he is, including Parker. I think LeBron basically hits a game-winning shot, walks off the court. It's a great celebration. I do want to say, you need to stop taking shots at Zion Williamson. He will be in Chicago this weekend. I think he's in the Rising Stars game or something. He's going to dominate tonight. He is going to absolutely dominate this game. Drop 40, a couple highlight reel dunks, and Rob Parker will be calling him a superstar next week.
Do you know what? What happened to the old NBA? Do you remember when Michael Jordan's first All-Star game? Do you remember?
They iced him out or something?
They wouldn't pass him the ball.
They did.
Those days are long gone. I remember that. Can you imagine not passing the ball to Michael Jordan? That was Isaiah and Bird. They all got together.
A little cocky.
And they figured, you're the star of the league already?
Zion Williamson. Future slam dunk champion.
Oh, no, he's too good for that. Now, let me make a quick joke here.
Too good for that.
No, so, he's going to do it.
You know, he will do it.
I thought Rob Parker would have made this joke. So Giannis's team in the All-Star game is a joke. I mean, they had this draft, and LeBron's got this stacked team because he's used to stacking teams as, you know, a super team guy. The Bucks have nothing to worry about. Giannis is not going anywhere because he clearly can't create a super team. I mean, Greg Jennings read this roster to me. Kemba Walker, Joel Embiid. Like, this team is terrible. Giannis, bro, get it together.
How in the world was Kawhi not his first pick? I just don't even understand that.
LeBron's got Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic, and Kawhi. Jason Tate.
You got to think, he goes for the international guys right out the gate.
Yeah, because that's really what it is if you look at it, right?
LeBron knows how to create a super team. Anyways, everybody, we had an awesome week here. A lot of fun, right?
We'll all be back. Skip, Shannon, and Jenny.
They will be back next week. I think everybody had fun, though. I think you guys enjoyed this. Thanks for the constructive criticism. Greg Jennings, it was a blast. A
lot of fun.
Rob Parker, a lot of fun.
No doubt.
Thanks, everybody. Have a happy Valentine's Day. Chris Broussard. Get well soon, Chris.
That's right.
You guys have a great Valentine's weekend. Enjoy the All-Star game.
No mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning, featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Facts. Sports. One of one.